Henderson, the true story. It all started as a crazy idea down in Henrik's room in the basement of the family Skilt's house. We, Henrik and Michael, must have spent 100 nights drinking his dreadful home-brewed wine, discussing the eternal dream of having a band of our own. Henrik was kind enough to share his somewhat limited skills on the guitar with me, and coincidentally one night his sister's boyfriend, Peter, showed up and claimed that he had always wanted to play the bass guitar in a band. Even though we considered him a bit old for the mission, we were happy that we now only were short of a drummer. A phone call later, I had managed to convince a previous classmate, Lass, to procure a brand new drum set, and believe it or not, we had a band. This was 1980 and Henrik and I struggled with our electronics engineering degree. Lucky, as we were, we had a weird guy in our class, Boss Sound. We managed to convince Boss Sound to build a combined guitar and vocal amplifier, all in the spirit of saving money. We were also lucky to find a suitable rehearsal area in the basement in our school, Berzelius Collin. The first period was pretty tough. We certainly loved it, but the way we sounded and played really sucked. We tried very hard to make it sound punk rock, but due lack of skills we never gained any control over the music. It simply took a direction of its own. Surprisingly, we were offered a first gig at the very prestigious venue, The Cave. I believe Boss actually hooked us up for it. The promoter, Rod Damore, of course wanted to know what name to print on the posters. Boss Sound kindly replied Taproom Band. We really hated the name, but the posters were already printed. Okay, time for the first gig. We were really nervous. Someone cracked a bright idea. Let's get real drunk. We need that in order to relax and play better. Bad idea, we totally fucked up our first gig. It was really a nightmare and I remember that I didn't want to go downtown for several weeks afterwards. After a few additional gigs we decided to regroup. Pierre on drums and Stefan in keyboards had left Ramblers and joined us on a trial basis. Now things happened very quickly. Our music took a new direction. Although the majority of the local music scene hated synthesizers, we felt that it was really cool. We renamed the band to Henderson for the first gig and this time we stayed off the blues. The result was really good. We were so encouraged by the outcome that we immediately requested B-Sound to schedule a recording session with his mobile recording studio. The first Henderson demo was recorded by B-Sound in his 2-track Remox machines in the family Skilt's house during a weekend. When we were listening to the final mix and we were so impressed over the result that we could simply not believe that we actually were playing. Now this was for real. The enthusiasm died approximately 5 minutes later, when Boss showed up with the first reviews of the demo. January Grabball and Sven Dahling from the local, but a time well established in the country, fanzine had given us the verdict. They claimed that it was too commercial oriented and they both felt that we probably would get a contract with one of the major record companies, if we wanted, and of course, they hated the synthesizer. Remember, now that this was during a period when, if you had a potential of making money on your music, you were considered to have reached the ultimate stage of failure. We recorded an additional 4 sessions with Boss Sound in his permanent 8-track Fastex studio and they were all very important steps in the development of our music. It was a fantastic opportunity for us to be able to record new songs in an affordable and relaxed atmosphere. B-Sound used to charge us a daily rate, and I believe that we probably were the band that managed to get the best mileage out of him. I especially remember one session that continued over 24 hours without a break. When the end of the B-Sound studio was a fact, we finally decided to finance a recording in a 16-track studio. This resulted in the release of Engrove Abgold, -87, which was followed by the single Brander Mig, -88, released on the label Nonstop Records. In total, We have been through close to 10 different lineups in the band and approximately 60 gigs over the years. And last but not least, we've met a lot of interesting people and had a lot of funny and crazy moments. The heritage from Andron 7 is still somewhat alive. Please check out the Weed homepage. The true story written April 8, 2002 by Michael Anderson.